We're on Samech Chesam Aleph. We are 7 lines in the bottom of the page. The last 4 or 5 words in the line are Amalei Rav L'Rav Chisda. So, you know, we've been talking about this question of hold on one second. Yeah, the question of when it comes to Parnasa, right, Shaman Ba'av, do we like take a look at the personality of the father, or do we just say no? We give her an appropriate amount based on, what could be expected, a tenth, etc. So we had said that Shmuel, right, that Rabbi Yehuda sounds like, that this opinion of Shmuel, that Parnasa Shaman Ba'av sounds like, the same opinion as Rabbi Yehuda. So should we just say halacha like Rabbi Yehuda? So the Gemara concluded, no, we wanted to strengthen the opinions, etc. Explain a little bit more. That's why we didn't just say halacha like Rabbi Yehuda. Fine. But now the Gemara says the following: Amalei Rav L'Rav Chisda, Darshina Mishimcha halacha like Rabbi Yehuda. Should we say in your name that halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? So Amalei Yehi Rava Kol Kihani Milei Ma'al Yisa. There should be, should be Hashem's will that all the wonderful Piskei Halacha, like this, you should say in my name. So it sounds like he's saying, yes, right? So Umi Amar Rava, okay, really, Rava says that, right? So, but wait a second. V'hatanya Revi Omer, Bas Hanizonas Mina Achin, Notelas Isha Nechashim. That Revi said that a daughter who is getting, being funded by the father's estate through the sons, right? So that she gets again 1/10 of an achasim. Va'amar Rava hilchasak Rebbe, and Rava says that we follow Rebbe. Right? If that's true, that if we follow Rebbe in this case. So what does it mean? Rashi says, "No, tell us isur nechasim v'lo shaman ba'av." Right? You just give a tenth. You don't actually ask what the father's personality was and what he would have done and how much he liked her, etc. We don't do that. We just say, give a tenth. So it sounds like it's again not like Rabbi Yehuda. So what's going on? And Rava says halachas like Rabbi, which sounds like against Rabbi Yehuda. So it's the Gemara, no, little kasha. Ha da amidne, ha da la amidne. No, it depends on the scenario. Meaning Rashi says ha da la amidne, ha da amar Rabbi Yisra nechasim. Where did Rabbi say you give a tenth? But the lo amidne lav, right? Shelo garbeinu. Maybe the father doesn't live here. Right? Maybe it's a scenario not that we never would estimate what he would give. It just we don't, some scenarios we're not able to. Right? For example, he doesn't live here. We don't know if he's a easygoing person, he's a hard person. We don't know what he's like, so we can't do that in a situation where we're not able to figure out what he would do. So then we just give a tenth. And maybe that's why. So Hachanami Mistavrin, it makes sense to Amrav Adabar Ava Maisa Vanasan La Rebbe Echad Mishnei Masar Binechasim. There's a story. There was a Maisa where Rebbe gave somebody 1/12 of nechasim, right? Where he gave, again basically measured out a certain amount. Rebbe allowed that. I thought Rebbe just said that. And kasha na'adadi, right? So which would be again a contradiction. So elav shmamina hadamidne hadlo mina shmamina. Right. So the point being that. Right, look at Rashi says, Hachanami Mistavra Dehich Da Amidne Moda Rebbe De Shaman Ba'af. Right? I mean, in situations where if there's an opportunity to again figure out what he would want, so they would, but if they can't, they can't, right? Right, the point being that you find even within Rebbe who says that we figure out what he wants, that there were scenarios where he just gave a calculation, right? So it must be that there are certain times when he would do it, certain times he wouldn't do it. Point being, when we're able to figure out what the father would want, we do. But if we can't, so then again, even he would agree, you make an estimation. So sometimes you can, sometimes you don't. So that makes sense. Fine. So now we're going to go back to this idea. Kufa, Amar Rebbe, Bas Hanizonas Mina Achin, Notelas Isra Nechasim. So Rebbe said, right, that a daughter who is being financed by her father's estate through the brothers, so she gets, again, 1/10. 1/10 when? Just so we know what we're talking about. This means when she gets married. Right? So when she gets married, she's given this 1/10. Fine. Like for the each I've been finding that every time we talk about like parnasa, we use the language of she getting money. It's not always clear. Is it a dowry when she first gets married? Is it other times? So just sometimes Rashi keeps on defining the word each time it happens, because I think sometimes the Gemara is not totally consistent with what it means. So anyway, just to be clear, what it means is, you know, no telas ish nachas. It means when she gets married. So fine. So amulo the Rebbe. So they said to Rebbe. So again, Rebbe said she gets 1/10 of the nechasim. So said to Rebbe, lidvarecha, according to you, according to what you just said, mi sheyesh lo eser banos uben. Let's say a person has 10 daughters and one son. And the ben b'makom banos klum. So each girl gets 10%. So what's going to happen? The girls each get 10%. The son is left with zero. That can't be. That's impossible. So he explains. Kach ani omer. I'll tell you what I mean. Rishona no telas isu nechasim. So the first one gets 1/10. Shnia b'mesh shaira. Right. The other one takes a tenth of what's left. Right. So if one took 10%, so there was 90% left. So the next one takes 10% of the 90%. Right. Ushlishit b'mesh shaira v'choseres v'cholkos v'shava. So they go ahead and each one takes 10% of what's remaining. And then what do? And then they take all the 10% and put them all together, right? And they split it up equally. So they have the calculation there. But basically it comes out, if you put it all together, they get like 65% total, and they split it up, each one of them gets 6.5% in the end, right? So that's what they should do. So when I say 10%, I don't mean each one gets 10%, there's zero left. It means each one gets 10% of what's remaining, and it ends up with, it's a good word problem, and it ends up with, they all get to be 65% total, and he split that by in 10, so chokos b'shavya, each one gets 6.5%. So it says Gemara, kochad v'chad of the nafsha shakla. What do you mean? What are you talking about? Halavai, person, I don't know halavai. Person has 10 daughters, so you marry them all off in the same moment. You're not going to marry them all off at the same time, right? So they're all going to, how do they split it up equally? Like when? One gets married in 1 year, one gets married 10 years later. So how do they split them all up equally? What does that make sense, right? Look at Rashi. Kochad v'chad of the nafsha shakla. V'chachamim tiknu lehem nedunya. And the Chacham said they should get a dowry. So nisu in isu nechasim, 10%. Vaniseis rishon zachsa bi isur shebefanah. Each one's going to get 10% that's in front of her. V'lama yachzru v'yachalku isureha and shuv v'shavah. And afterwards they have to split up equally. Doesn't make any sense. How could that? Why would you do that? So answer the Gemara. No. Hachi kamar im bo kulam linase ka'achas. If you're marrying off all 10 of them at the same time, so then chalkos b'shava, then it's true, then you split it up equally. But we didn't mean that you would actually do that, l'chachila. That would happen if that's the scenario. Rashi says, she'ein kan kodem is a zechus, right? Because in that scenario, who's getting, sometimes you see in the paper, in like the Jewish one, like Bris Avram does weddings for families. Did you see that? They have like, 10 couples all get married at the same time. So, okay, so in that scenario, if it was 10 sisters, so that's what would happen. So why is this as Rashi? Ain kan kodem es l'zuchus. No one's first. Hilkach b'shvil haroi lishayel lifnei haben. No telas ha'achas iser v'ashniya iser b'meshe shayra v'chein kula v'mos l'ben. Right? In that scenario, no one comes first, so then you have to split it up equally and leave over for the son. All the way down. You have to figure out how much he's going to have left, so then you split it up. Fine, in that scenario, you would do that, but otherwise you wouldn't do that. In Mesayli, the Rav Masna, and this works. It supports Rav Masna. Why the Amr of Masna in Bo lehinasev kulam ka'achas not los isur echad isur echad. That he said that if they all get married at the same time, they take 1/10 isur echad sakadatech. And right, what does he mean? You take 1/10 mamish for all of them? That's not going to make sense. And a not los isur ke'echad, right? But rather they split up their 10% all at once, right? Together, and that must be. It's like, oh, that's what Rav Masna meant when he said. Easter Echad is Easter Ke'echad. They do it all at once. Fine.
Is there a scenario at all where the oldest daughter gets anything extra?
Sounds like not, right? Doesn't sound like that, right? And this isn't Yerusha.
Right.
That's why I keep on saying, right? You have to keep reminding yourself. This is not Yerusha, this is dowries. Yeah. So, But certainly when it comes to the question here is, it sounds like the first daughter to get married is going to end up with more.
Right, that does sound right. Unless they all got married at the same time, if there's more, a tenth of the whole amount in the beginning is...
will be less for the earlier children who get married. We'll get more.
Right, well, the older ones presumably is going to get more, right?
Whoever gets married first.
Right. Unless his estate... because once he passes away, you assume that the estate is not increasing, although it's possible.
Right, it is possible. Right. Today it's possible, right? I guess it would be possible then also.
Investments can do better, so...
Right.
But if the father says, I have 10 daughters, and he wants to allocate a certain amount, regardless
of if he decides that he wants to do that, that could be. He sets it up before he dies, et cetera. Right. That may be something different. He gives it as a matana ahead of time.
Right.
You know, that might be something that could happen. This presumably, again, I'm not for sure, but presumably this happens if he says nothing. Right, but I wonder if he, we've talked about it before, right? The guy can decide all kinds of things about the dowry, how much he wants to give. So presumably, before he dies, he creates a document where he explains, before I die, I want to make sure all things are set up. Maybe that would work, yeah. Same thing issue, by the way, with Yerusha. Right? Halakhic wills and things like that. Setting things up before you die, this is complicated. How do you do that? It's not that complicated, but to set that up so things don't happen automatically upon death. Yeah. Look over, that would be possible. Okay. Tana Rabbana. Abanos. Bein bagru ad shelo nisu, ubein nisu ad shelo bagru, ivdu mizonos ayem, velo ivdu parnasasan. Divrei Rebbe, see, here we go again. Mizonos and parnasa. I'm trying to define what these things mean. So what happens here? So daughters, whether they become adults, they pass 12 and a half, right? And whether she became 12 and a half before she was married, or she became married before she was 12 and a half, she loses her mizonos, but she doesn't lose her parnasa. So Rashi explains, Ivdu mizonos sehen, shekach kasav lehen o ad tidebagron o ad tilakchon legovrin, right? So father dies, and there's an estate that's left over to the sons, so the daughters get parnasa, right? They get mizonos, they get taken care of, they're just general, responsibility in the father to continue to finance their daughter's lives, right? That they continue to get until either she comes a bogeres or she gets married. That's what Rebbe's saying here, right? Fine, but not the parnasa, right? So what's parnasa? Well, just looking at the Gemara for one second. Rav Shimon Milas Omer Af Ivdu Parnasa Son. He says, no, not only do they lose their mizonos, they lose their parnasa. What does that mean? Says Rashi, Ivdu Parnasa Son, Iser Nechasim, right? They also lose the dowry. Right, so that's the machlokas between Rebbe, Mishum, and Lazar. When they get married, when these girls get married or become bogros, do they both lose their mizonos and their parnasa, meaning their regular, whatever you want to call it, amount that they get just for living, just to take care of them, their living needs, or do they also lose their dowry once they become a bogros? Look at Rashi, Isur Nechasim, right? That 10%. For the dowry, the kasavra lo tikon la nedunya elahecha de minza ba bekatnas, because do you hold that maybe you only get this dowry, meaning again he said nothing about what he wants to do, so but there's an assumption that they should get something, so maybe they only said that if she gets married when she's a katana or benairis or when she's a naira until she's 12 and a half. Ava bagra, but when she's already 12 and a half, she's super old, so then istalka la meahi besa legarma, she's out of the house, meaning once you're out of the house, maybe. Once you're out of the house, you're out of the house. And so I'm not responsible for you financially at all, meaning not just I don't have to take care of your daily needs, I also don't have to take care of your dowry anymore. Right? V'chei nises b'nairos. And same thing if she would get married when she's a naira. Hol v'gedolahi, since she's a gedil already, v'nisratzeit, since she wanted to get married, if the parnasasa, she loses her parnasa. Again, she loses the dowry. Elamasha pasku, right? Just what was given already. About, you know, was originally set aside. About Benise, it's Bekatnos Lopalik. But there's no discussion. If she's a katana when she gets married, for sure she gets money. By the way, the fact that Rashi says that, and the Masha Pasku, that sounds like exactly what we're talking about. That he says she only gets what had been decided already. It sounds like Rashi is saying the same thing, right? If that was already set aside, it's a different story. It sounds like that.
The Ksuvah itself talks about mizonos, right? It doesn't talk about the Ksuvah itself provides for
that children going forward, according to their version of the Ksuvah, right, had mizonos taken care of,
but not dowries.
Correct. That is correct. That's what Rashi says. If you look at Beis Basman Rashi, Ibdu Mizano Sehen, Shekach Kasav Lahen, O Adid Tigburan, O Adid Talachon Nagovran. And that's like the version of the Ksuba we were talking about a long time ago, that they had these like Ksubas Bidin Dichra and these different things they had in the Ksuba for the children afterwards, right? So that, so the assumption is that that's what they had in the Ksuba, that they'll take care of her, they'll take care of the daughters. Fine. So but basically, Machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon is again, stam a case. No one said anything. So what happens? So if she becomes a Bogeris or she gets married, again, married when she's like, we're talking about Naira to Bogeris stage, not if she's a Katana. Katana, it sounds like she's not losing anything. But if she gets married or becomes a Bogeris, Rebbe says she loses the mizonos, but doesn't lose the dowry. Rebbe Shimon says she even loses the dowry. It's fine. So Kate said, Hainosa, so what do they do? So what would they do? Sochos, lahen b'alim, they would literally purchase husbands, meaning they would make it, it would be financially smart for the husbands to marry them now. Why? Earlier. Because if you marry early, you're going to get the dowry. Right? So sochos, lahen b'alim, they'd say to these guys, hey, marry me now while I'm young, and then you're still going to get your umotzi lahen parnasasan. Right? So amr lahen, amr Rav Nachman, amr lihuna, hilchos like a Rebbe. So they said, hilchos like a Rebbe, not like Rav Shimon Lazar, that they would still get the dowry even if they got married once they were Bogeris. Fine. So Esvei Rav Rav Nachman. So Rav says not so fast. So Rav Nachman said the halachas like Rebbe that she still gets the dowry even if she gets married early, but she loses the parnasa, but she still gets the dowry. Sorry, she loses the mizonos, but she gets the parnasa. So Rav brings a kash on Rav Nachman. Yisoma she see us ima o achiha. Let's say an orphan girl, right, gets married off by her daughter or her brother. Midaita, right? And she agrees, right? Because v'la b'me'a o b'chamishim zuz, right? And they gave her either 100 or 50 zuz as her dowry. So yachol lehi mishetagdil lahotzi miyoda masherorli nasin la. So when she gets older, she can actually go ahead and ask for more, meaning whatever was right, whatever was, you know, what would have made more sense that she should get, maybe what the father would have given, whatever. She can go ahead and get what's right for her. So it says the Gemara, taima de katana, Hagadola Vitra. What's the point? The point is that she's a katana who's getting married off. Right? And because she's a katana, that's why she can go back and ask. The implication being that if she's a gadola, what's going to happen? She's not able to go back. What's the implication? That if she gets, when you get married and she's a gadola, she gives up on the parnasa. Right? That's it sounds like. That seems to be against Rabbi. So it says, no, Lakasha, had the machai, had the lamachai. No, it just depends whether or not she protested or not. Right? Maybe in the case where she protested, so that's when she's able to come back and say, you know, I'm going to be wanting to get the rest of the money. Rashi says, Hada Machai, Hada Amar Rebbe Lo Ivdu. When Rebbe say she doesn't lose it, but Amar Refuna Hilchas Akavasei, B'Shemichsa Amosar Yisun Nechasah. That's when she says that I'm not interested. Sorry, when she says I don't I'm not giving up my Yisun Nechasim. But the Gatani Masnisin Gedola Vitra B'Shalom Nechasah. When does the Gedola give it up? When she doesn't say something, right? Maybe she has to speak up. Maybe that's the difference. It's not that the one holds, you know, differently, but the cases are different. One's the case when she spoke up, and therefore she doesn't, you know, lose the zechus to that money. And one case where she didn't say anything. Okay, so hachanan mistaver, and it makes sense. Why the imkain kasha the Rebbe other Rebbe? Because otherwise you can have a machlokas, a steer between Rebbe and himself. Why the sanya Rebbe Omer bas hanizonas mina achin? Rebbe says that a daughter who is again financed by the brothers, meaning by the father's estate after he dies, no telas isin nechasim. She gets isin nechasim. Nizonis in she'ena nizonis lo. What's the case? Again, it says that it's a daughter who is currently being nizonis from the brothers. She gets the isin nechasim, right? What's the implication? It's because she's a katana still, and so she's still getting money from the brothers from the father's estate. That's when she still gets her parnasa. Implication being that if she's not nizonis anymore, she doesn't get it anymore. But wait a second. Rebbe is the one who said that she doesn't lose the parnasa. So what's going on here, right? So now Rebbe is saying she does lose it. So the implication meaning if she's a gedola, she will lose it. Okay, so you have to explain the difference. And the cases is, one when she makes a macha, one she doesn't make a macha. Meaning she's getting married and she says, by the way, I'm not giving it up. So then she still gets to hold on to it. If she doesn't, that's when, if she doesn't say anything, that's when she loses it. Okay, fine. So Amalei Ravina LaRava. So, and by the way, why would that be? Why would that be? Because it could be when she's a gadola already, you know, if she doesn't, you know, we oftentimes say shtika gahoda, right? When you say nothing, there seems to be, an agreement. So if you're getting married, and you say nothing about wanting to come back later and collect more money, the implication is that you were fine with not getting it, right? There's a lot of details to getting married. If she says and she decides not to say anything, the implication is that not saying anything is in fact being mavata. Being mavata, it's like it's keilu she's by saying nothing she's giving it up. Fine. Okay. So Amar le Ravina Larava, so Ravina said to Rava the following. Amar lan Rav Ada bar Ava Mishimcha. So just want you to know, Rava, that Rav Ada bar Ava said the following in your name. Bagra, if she gets, she becomes a gedola, she becomes 12 and a half. So Eina Tzricha Limchos, she does not have to protest. And Niseis, Eina Tzricha Limchos. And if she gets older, she becomes 12 and a half, and she doesn't say anything. By the way, now I'm 12 and a half, I want to make sure I'm keeping my parnasa, keeping my dowry. She doesn't have to say that. Niseis, and if she just gets married, it sounds like Niseis without, not with becoming a bogeris. And if she chalimchos, she also doesn't have to say anything. Just the fact she's getting married, also doesn't have to say, by the way, I want to keep the dowry. But bagra v'niseis, tzri chalimchos. But if she's now 12 and a half, and she's getting married, she better make sure to say that she's coming back for that money, because otherwise, again, it's an assumption that she didn't want. Okay. So the Gemara says, well, me, I'm a Rav. Did Rav really say that? You're saying that in Rav's, they're saying that in Rav's name. Did Rav really say that? I thought Rav had attacked Rav Nachman and said, Yesoma, right? They talked about the case of Yesoma, right? That earlier on, just a few lines above, right? We had an Eisei Rav Rav Nachman. What was the case? That the Yesoma, who gets married off by her mother and her brothers, Midaita, right? And they give 150 that she can come back and collect the money. Right, and we said that's only if she was. But we said that's only if she's married off. When she was a katana, if she's a gadola, she can't come back. Right, meaning that sometimes her lack of when she's a gadola and she gets married, her or bogeris and she gets married, she mechad doesn't help anymore. Right, it's not gonna make a difference. Right. So tzri means tzri chalimchos. So mechad is not gonna help anyways. So what's gonna happen? Right, vishani lay. We answer there. Oh, hadamachi, hadalamachi. But again, you just told me that. That the mechav, now you're saying the mechav doesn't help, right? So lo kasha had the mitzna minayu had the lo kamitzna binayu. So what's the case? It depends whether or not she's being currently being financed by them. Look at Rashi. Rashi right across the way. Had the amar Rava niseis bin the amar Rava niseis bin nairus and it's richalimchos. When we say that if she gets married when she's a nairus, she doesn't have to say, she doesn't have to protest. Could go into kamitzna minayu, right? La'acha shenises, that she's getting parnasa from them. I should be careful my language. She's getting money from them, right? After she got married, the mishum de kamitzna minayu hu de kashatska. That's why she's saying nothing. V'lo machla ar parnasa, but she's not being, mochel on her parnasa. V'hal tekatani hagadola vitra the lo kamitzna. Meaning, if she's continuing to get financed by them right until the moment that she gets married, right? So that's why she doesn't have to say anything, because she's continuing to get money from them. So she's not like, doesn't feel like she's giving it up yet. But if she's already become a gadola, right? So then she's like already halfway out the door already. So then she's got to say something to make it clear, right? But if she's at the moment she got married, she was getting financed all the way through. You could have argued the opposite, the opposite, but since she's getting finance all the way right until she gets married, so if she doesn't, she doesn't have to be mocha because she's kind of like there's an assumption that's going to continue, I guess, and that's why she's doesn't have to say anything. Fine, but that allows them, I guess, in some way to solve this what seems like a contradiction to Rav. It's not really a contradiction. Again, depends what the scenario is that's taking place just before she gets married. So Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rebbe. Parnasa ain't a kitnai ksuba. So Rav Huna says in the name of Rebbe that Parnasa, again, getting the dowry, is not like the tnai ksuba. Okay, the Gemara is going to ask, what does that mean? My ain't a kitnai ksuba. What does that mean? In what way is it not the same? Like, what's the nafka meaning here? What's the halachic scenario that's going to change between the case of a Parnasa and the case of a tnai ksuba? Again, tnai ksuba, all this time has been, we've been, again, these two things, we've been talking about mizonos and parnasa, right? Mizonos is tanakh ksuba. Mizonos is that she gets finance as long as when her father passes away from the brothers, you know, have that estate. And parnasa is the dowry. So fine, so what way is the dowry and the mizonos different? We've seen a bunch of cases already until now. So what does that mean? So in ema, the ilu parnasa, tarfim mishabdei, but tanakh ksuba lo tarfim mishabdei, you might argue, what's the one difference? You could say that parnasa, right, that her dowry she can get even from, again, from people who had, you know, already bought things from the father ahead of time, right? While he was on the hook to pay for the dowry, they can actually go and collect it from them, right? And maybe as opposed to tanakh ksuba, which they can't go collect from someone who had, you know, bought property from the father ahead of time. So if you want to say that, ma'akam mashalon, that's not a chiddush. Ha'maisim b'choyom, motzin l'parnasa, ve'im motzin l'mazonos. That you're right. That's true. But that we know already, right? That the dowry is something that, again, when the father sells land and he has all these daughters, that they know that she might come back to you and take the land back in order to get the dowry. So that's not a chiddush, but which you can't do by just regular, you know, financing after he dies. Vela di ilu parnasa gavya nami mitatlei, but tanai ksuba mikarkai di gavya mitatlei lo gavya. Maybe you'll tell me what's the difference that parnasa you get from mitatlei, you can take money, cash, or whatever, in order to get to collect the dowry, but the tanai ksuba you'd only collect from land, but not from metathlin. So the Rebbe, idi migva gabia. Rebbe, everybody tell you that's not true. That's actually not correct. That you actually collect either one. Could collect from either. Meaning that's always karka or not karka. Motzi and lamazon heisha ulabanos. The Rebbe. Rebbe says you can use that for mazon isha or for the daughters. So you really can't collect from both. So elamai parnasa in a connection. What does that mean? Like the following price. Ha'omra al yazunu benosav mina chasav. A person says, I do not want my daughters to be financed for my money. Ein shomlo. We don't listen to him. Al yis parnasu benosav mina chasav. Shomlo. A person says, I don't want to get dowry for my nechasim. Shomlo. Why? Shar parnasa ein a tanai ksuba. Because they're different. Meaning tanai ksuba is something that happens automatically. You can't decide before you die. You know what? I'm not gonna give my children parnasa. That you can't. So you can't say, I'm not going to give them the tanai ksuba. But a person says, I'm not going to give a dowry, that technically he's allowed to say, and that's how, in one sense we mean, that the tanai ksuba and the parnasa are not the same. Okay, so we'll stop here.